Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
That is, as we count it down now, T-minus 3 hours till NFL draft coverage. It begins here on this radio station. We'll be on The Fan at 8 o'clock with Chuck and Chernoff's Draft Spectacular, taking you all the way through the Falcons pick. Where will that pick be? That's the question. Will they stay at 8? Will they move? We'll answer that and more coming up. We are on FM for your enjoyment at 93.7. We're doing the AM thing at 680, and of course the 680 The Fan mobile app, live at the Caesar Sportsbook at Harris Cherokee. Now, I'm looking in front of me at the red carpet for the draft. Your guy, Cam Newton, wearing the 1920s sort of Al Capone pinstripe, but it's a green pinstripe with a hat, the sunglasses, just living the gimmick.
Yeah, it's a stat. He's got a cowboy hat on.
He does.
He's all right.
He's all cammed out. Let me read you some news that came out earlier today. It was breaking news. Sources, and this is, I tweeted this, sources telling me the Falcons are either staying at 8 or trading up or down. My source is me. It's me. It's my source. Oh, yeah, that was me. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but I feel like I have a good chance to be right on one of those. There are all kinds of whispers and rumors and buzz as we close in on the draft, like this one from Jonathan Jones at CBS. He says, NFL teams I'm talking to believe if you want Brock Bowers, you have to get into the top 10 tonight. I had Brock in my mock going number 10 to the Jets, so that tracks.
He is not a physically overwhelming guy.
I will not stand for your Brock negativity.
I until this past week when I heard how much Aaron apparently is in love with him, I was thinking that, you know, I said this like Cadillac Williams when he was coming out. What does he do well? Well, he just doesn't get hit. He's got great vision. That doesn't help people. Like, we want to know exactly why. And I've said about Brock plenty of times, I think what he does best is get open. That's a tough sell for a top 10 pick. Maybe it happens, but I would expect Brock somewhere in the lower teens.
In my mock that I put out earlier today, like I said, he was at 10. I also had the Falcons taking Liatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA, the Jimmy Lake connection. Lake coached him at Washington. Now, I know there's an injury fear, so maybe the Falcons will cross him off if they think it's too risky there. But word on Latu is, he's, of all the edge rushers, the closest to being ready to have an impact right away. And I think for the Falcons, without many options still left, either on the free agency or the trade board, that might be the best play for them to get a guy who could do it long-term, but also can have an impact right away.
Yeah, unless there is a trade for a veteran. And we mentioned earlier, Trey Hendrickson has decided that the day of the draft is when he would like to let everybody know I'm available.
Yes, hello, Trey.
I'm so unhappy, Cincinnati. You need to trade me.
All right, more on the draft coming up here in just a couple of moments. But the Braves enjoy the day off, and it's well-deserved. Another sweep yesterday. They finish up the Marlins in 10 innings. They improved to 17-6 on the young season. They won in a walk-off base hit from Michael Harris. Harris had himself a night. 3 hits, RBI run scored. Marcell Ozuna had another big night. 3 for 4, 2 more RBIs. He's got 29 runs driven in and we're 23 games into the season. He's on a fun pace for like 204 RBIs.
There were two examples last night of something that I don't know, just on its face, I hate. It terrifies me. I hate bringing the infield in. Like, you're giving the hitter such an advantage at that point, but you got to do what you got to do sometimes. Yeah. I'll be damned if the Braves didn't pull that off twice in two innings.
So that's a good point to bring up, right? In the ninth, you had the Orlando Arcia play, which we take for granted. You have to have the throw on point, which he did, to gun down the run that could have given the Marlins the lead. Then in the 10th, Austin made a gem. Spinning around after nabbing a hard-hit ball, perfect throw to Darnell. They knock out the runner at the plate, so the game stayed tied. And then the Harris walk-off. But the story of the night, again, has been the story of the first month for the pitching. Ronaldo Lopez arguably has been the best pitcher in baseball. Another seven innings last night, three hits, one earned.
That's deep into the game, by the way, for a, quote, former reliever, and he was like the last 4 or 5 years, a former
couple of walks, six strikeouts. He's gone six, six, yep, six, and now seven. And here's how you know how good he's been. He went seven innings, gave up a run, his ERA went up.
He is also against the grain in that even established starting pitchers, you hear a manager say, well, you know, first couple times through. Not with him.
But you know what I like about him? His velo is holding nicely. He was still in the mid-90s, and it feels like he hit 97 at one point, maybe in the sixth or seventh inning, which tells me he's getting it. He's holding something back. He knows he can pull back on the throttle and then go to the 97 when he needs. The stuff's filthy. I mean, the wipeout sliders, it's impressive. Then there was the bullpen. Joe Jimenez has just been nailed so far all year. Rysell's been great. He ran into a problem last night. He had the three base hits, then the Olsen error.
That ball wound up in the
camera
well.
Yeah. But a good job by Rysell to save it at that point with the two Ks and the ground out, and all of a sudden he kept the game tied.
I want to say, Matt Olsen has not had such a great experience to start this season. Last night that play, that was a – it took a weird thing right before it got to him, and it winds up – kicking foul and going to a place where they get two runs. So it's just been a tough start for – he's a great baseball player. This is not his finest 3 weeks.
But what a great statement for the Braves that he's been this bad. Riley's been just kind of
leaving guys on base.
Yeah. Oh, a ton,
yeah.
Right? The meat of your order. Acuna started to find it but still hasn't gotten the
– he's been running more than anything.
The Acuna numbers to where we know they can be. Yep. And they're still the best offense in baseball, and they've had this kind of start. So
help me remember, because it's been 10 days. Where was Ozzie hitting?
Second.
Okay, so what happens with Michael Harris?
I think they'll put Ozzie back at the two and put Harris back at the six. But there's no right or wrong to it. They're both good options. I think Ozzie as the switch hitter gives you a little more kind of decision-making.
And power, maybe. Maybe power. I don't know. Maybe Michael Harris has 30 home runs.
Well, Ozzie's showing you the 30 home run power year after year. But what I was saying was I've got to give the other manager something to think about knowing – I don't want to bring a lefty in here because I turn Ozzie around righty, but I know I have Riley and then Olsen, so it just gives you a little bit more to deal with. Braves are back home tomorrow night with the Guardians. Three-game series of the two teams with the best records in baseball. Chris Sale gets the ball tomorrow night. Charlie Morton in game two, and then Bryce Elder will get the ball in game three.
Yeah, and Ozzie had a fractured foot, and he's back. And
I think
Murphy,
it was a toe.
Or toe, yeah. And he's Murphy's close, too. And
Murphy's getting closer. So. Which, do you want to take Darnell out of the lineup?
Not
right
really,
now?
Man.
The way he's going. All right, it is draft day. All the rumors, all the indu is out there. As we sit here at this moment, the Falcons are still going to be on the clock at 8. We'll see if that changes. And I gave Chuck a full kind of a picture, a landscape, a mosaic, if you will, of all the different NFL insiders and what they think the Falcons will do at number 8. You ready? Daniel Jeremiah, Joel Klatt, Dane Brugler, and Mel Kiper Jr. all think the Falcons take Dallas Turner at 8.
I'm in.
Pro Football Focus says Roma Dunze at 8.
No, that's not happening.
Charles McDonald and Nate Tice of Yahoo say it'll be Brian Thomas, wide receiver LSU at 8.
That's really not happening.
33rdteam.com. Ian Valentino has the Falcons trading with the Vikings, going back to 11 and then taking Quinyon Mitchell, the corner.
I would take that. I would give $5 to make that happen.
Wow. You really dig it.
Of my own money.
Is it cash or Venmo?
Not expensive. Let me call Zurich and have some funds moved.
Okay. Connor Orr of SI.com says the Falcons at 8 will take Terrion Arnold. Will Brinson at CBS says it'll be Malik Nabers.
That could happen.
That could happen. Charles Davis, NFL.com, and I are on the same page. He thinks Liatu Latu at a UCLA. And then the one that I think Falcon fans would dig the most, because you're going to get the player and trade back, which those things don't happen very often. Connor Rogers of NBC Sports has the Falcons trading back to 12 with Denver and still getting Dallas Turner and getting whatever compensation you get in the deal.
Well, I mean, my gosh, that works for Arthur and everybody else in Flowery Branch, doesn't it?
What a big win. Now, the word is the Falcons are in play to move. Zach Klein had that earlier. There have been a bunch of connecting of dots between the Rams and the Falcons. Rams pick at 19. They want to get up to 8, and Dino Rossini said it's not for a quarterback, which shocks me, because I'm trying to figure out, what are you so desperate to move up to number 8 for? Is it Brock?
No, that's why you move into the top 10.
For?
QB.
Yeah, but Rossini says it's not a quarterback.
No, they're not moving like 3 spots. No, that's when you think, oh, we got close and somebody's about to snake our offensive tackle. When you move 11 spots into the top 10, it's because you see a quarterback you want.
No, I don't think but based on what Dino is saying, that's not it. How would Brock, imagine Brock, Cooper Kupp, and Puka Nacua together with Matt Stafford? That's something. That could be a lot of fun. They could move him all around formations and do some of the things that Georgia did with Brock as well.
This will be year 16 for Matt Stafford. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means he's old, but it doesn't mean he has to quit after this season. But
no.
You're making your plans for the future.
So, just a reminder of how little we actually know about this stuff when it comes to projecting the pick or really what the player is going to be. It's just, I know Arthur Blank doesn't want to hear Chris Domino say it. It's kind of a crapshoot. So I wanted to give you a little reminder from some of the biggest blowhards in the sports media of just how impossible it is to try to get this stuff right. For instance, Chuck, this was right before the 2017 draft. This is Mike Francesa and Peter Schrager from Fox discussing a kid named Patrick Mahomes, who was the Texas Tech quarterback. Neither guy sounded impressed by Mahomes.
Let me get into a couple things. Yeah. Number one, the whole Mahomes phenomena that is now in, you know, going crazy in the last 3 or 4 days. Brett Favre-like talent, the whole gunslinger and all this stuff. I don't know who started this. Now, listen, the kid does have a good arm.
It's fun to watch.
And he's a nice kid, okay? But he is a turnover waiting to happen. He is a reckless, reckless player.
You hear the tone from Mike. Do you hear that
tone? With certainty.
Oh, my goodness. A reckless player. Where is all this hype coming from? And at that point, it's probably a fair assessment of Patrick Mahomes. Everybody thought late 20s until Kansas City decided, we've got to move heaven and earth. We've got to trade up, I think, from 28 to 10 with Buffalo. And we've got to take Patrick Mahomes, which in the moment did not seem like a home run. Now, in retrospect, you realize he went to one of the more stable franchises in football, and he got Andy Reid, and it's been a home run. But Schrager and Francesa weren't done doubting Patrick Mahomes.
Just how high do you now think he's going in this draft?
He's a late first-round pick.
Not an early first-round pick.
I've heard Arizona 13 likes him.
I've heard people trading into the top 10 for him.
I heard
him.
The Bears like him. I don't think they can take him third overall. The thing is,
he's not throwing around Brett Favre. And he carries the ball like a loaf of bread.
He does. Yeah, he throws off his back foot. He does everything wrong.
I mean, he's like the gunslinger, but people love him.
He's such a fun guy to watch. I just don't know if it translates, Mike. It's not apples and apples anymore. They don't play NFL football. What he plays, it's a video game. It's Arena League. It's crazy.
Those two just verbally patted Patrick Mahomes on the head. It's fun what he does.
Run along, son.
It's not going to work. He holds the ball like a loaf of bread.
That was nice in Lubbock.
Just reckless as can be, and we know what he's turned into. Here is Colin Cowherd. We don't have to do that every single time. This was, Chuck, right after the 2017 draft, and Colin thinks he has identified the steal of the draft with a running back that you will have never heard of, who was drafted by Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, but the keen eye of Colin and his scouting nabbed this guy as the steal.
I want to talk about one, Joe Williams, a running back at Utah. To me, he's the steal of the draft. I texted John Lynch yesterday. I said, he is the steal of the draft. If you would have put him behind the Dallas Cowboys offensive line last year like Ezekiel Elliott, he's a 1,200, 1,300-yard
guy. Wow.
Draft. I'm not saying he's Ezekiel Elliott, but he is an absolute steal in the fourth round.
Where Colin was wrong.
Chuck, ask me how many carries Joe Williams has in his career.
How many carries Joe Williams get?
Same as me.
Oh, y'all have the same level of pension.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, none. So had he run behind the Cowboy line, he would have been an all-pro in 12 and 1,300 yards, but he never got a carry in the league. So Colin missed that one. It's okay. We all miss stuff. It happens.
We're going to throw that one out.
Let's go back to Mike Francesa, who was guesting with his old friend, Chris Mad Dog Russo, right before the 2021 draft. And it sounds like in this clip, He's threatening the Jets. You better be careful. If you don't take Zach Wilson, I'm coming for you.
The Jets with the second pick. You think they're going to take the kid from BYU or not?
Absolutely. If they don't, I'll fall off the chair. He is absolutely going second. And if the Jets don't take him, you know what? Jet fans should just mail their tickets back if they don't take.
Oh, you love him that much?
I think he's clearly the second player. I think that kid at BYU is really good. I think Wilson's a superb player. I think he's going to be a very good player.
Look at Mike. Mike breaking down BYU tape, analyzing Zach Wilson. Think he's going to be a great player. By the way, he did also give a little Trevor Lawrence. Trevor's going to be fantastic too. But he was all aboard the Zach Wilson train, and now Zach Wilson just got traded for a sixth-round pick to the Broncos.
We played some of this earlier in the show, and I was having fun with it. And I started thinking about something you and I did one time.
What's that?
We did a series of draft shows all around town, the airport, Stockbridge, whatever.
Did we?
Oh, yeah. Spondivitz, we did.
Oh, that's right, before someone
died.
And
then the penalty box. Yeah. Are you remembering now?
Yeah, it's coming back.
All right, 2005.
Yeah.
They put us in a back room at Dantana's in Buckhead.
I asked for that.
Now, the highlight to me was I called Adam Jones short on the air, and Pac-Man called in. Do you remember?
I do.
So Pac-Man called in to insist he wasn't short.
Well, I don't know how you can tell. Either short or you're not.
Exactly. Yeah. But, like, Erasmus James, what do you think you and I said about him that day?
What a great name.
Like, what do we say about David Pollock that day? What do we say about any of the, like, Jason Campbell, a quarterback of Washington? What do we say? I'm glad nobody's got the audio.
Oh, it's funny you say that. We've got the tapes. Play what Chuck said about Erasmus James. No, we don't have
it. For a second, I thought Carlos was around.
I'll save the other audio because we have unfinished business to get to, but quickly, let's get our worst idea.
Get ready for Chuck and Chernoff's worst idea.
All right, your worst idea answers have been coming to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. We are live here at the Caesars Sportsbook at Harrah's Cherokee. All kinds of rich and famous folks walking around. I still haven't seen Kim Zolciak yet.
Yeah, apparently, according to one of her critters, this is where Kim likes to come play the high limit slots.
I mean, it's the closest thing to Atlanta. So that makes sense. And I don't know that she can afford Vegas now. The flight and all.
Yeah, probably just the drive for her.
So we asked you, who's the most famous person you've seen in a casino? I mentioned seeing Dennis Rodman. They closed down a roulette table for him. I saw Paul Sorvino, if you don't know. He was in Goodfellas. He played Paulie, the mob boss, among others, and Mira's father.
Susanna Hoffs at the Borgata. Atlantic City is not a fun place, but the Borgata was...
It's what it is.
For Atlantic City.
You know? So I told you I saw the Danity Kane group and Aubrey O'Day, and the only reason I knew who they were, this is right after Making the Band had come out on HBO.
Oh!
And I'm in the elevator, and a couple of guys are in front of me, and they're like, you look like somebody, blah, blah, couldn't figure it out. And she and the other two girls in the elevator both said, we're on Making the Band. Like, oh, like it was some big deal. And that's how I figured out it was Danity Kane. So Heath Klein has written in and said, Tito Ortiz and Jenna Jameson were at the Wynn together.
Mocha, chocolate.
Very excited by that. That has to be unfair. That relationship had to be incredibly uncomfortable. A lot of testosterone, a lot of
expression.
Yeah. David says he's never been to a casino, but he did see Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, and B.J. Armstrong at a club in Miami in 1993. Okay, David. Thank you. Kevin says he saw Hulk and Brooke Hogan on a cruise. Now, I'm pretty sure I asked about a casino. Like, I'm not, I saw, you know, Tom Selleck at a 7-Eleven. I mean, I
saw Moore stay at the airport.
Alex Hamilton, does it count? I saw Floyd Mayweather on a box in a casino. Like, he was... In the event center?
Yeah, I guess you were at a casino.
Right. He was like not by the craps table. He wasn't boxing. Yeah. John followed the rules. He said he saw Allen Iverson at the MGM Grand 2 years ago. He said he had a couple of drinks in him. He thought it was a good idea to give him a hug. His security had other plans. Don't try to hug the famous people.
Yeah, let's keep Allen away from the craps table. All right. I don't think Allen. Let's keep Allen away from the dice.
Eddie says he saw Lily Tomlin at the MGM Grand. First trip to Vegas.
Okay, wait a minute. He may have thought, who did you see?
Yeah.
Like, I saw Cirque du Soleil.
Maybe. Steven, 2003 Final Four weekend. It was his bachelor party. He met Coach K playing video poker at the Luxor. No way. Why would Coach K
was not playing video poker.
At the Luxor? I'm sorry.
I'll take two cards.
All right. And Rob says he met me and Brian Hoyt at a casino. I bet that was a thrill. See, everybody's saying they met Pete Rose. That doesn't count. I mean, Pete Rose posted up at the
– paid Pete Rose to sign a baseball.
So you guys can send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Who did you see that's famous in a casino or just somebody famous you saw at a drugstore or at a movie theater or at a Chili's?
I saw Matt Ryan. Where? Falcons practice. Well, guess what?
I will take that answer. That'll be acceptable.
I saw Michael Turner that day, too.
All right.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.